just broke your own world record.
I choked to myself.
The show was exactly 1/3 of a second old, and I look over and you're complete. You have a rope around you. Well, it's a cord. What is
it's
it?
My
what
headphones,
what'd you do?
And I went to raise my hands when I heard the Friday song, and I choked
you almost
myself.
Ended your own life.
Good
you scream.
God.
Ow! This is what I hear.
Ow! I know.
We were 1/3 of the way in.
It wasn't even a second into the song. Ow, I really...
Jazz, call Ross and Norris McWhorter, the owners of the Guinness Book of World Records,
yes. Which you are the only one that knew.
Knows their name. I don't think they're with us anymore, by the way. I think both brothers... I think one was killed. I think one was murdered.
Murdered.
That's right, Jessica Fletcher. I'm pretty sure one was murdered. I have to tell you this. This is strange. Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. Hi. I don't think that I amaze easily. You know what I mean? Like, there are some people
You amaze us easily.
Oh, well, that's very kind
of
you.
But you're
not
amazed.
That's very nice.
Amazing.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. You know how there are some people who almost anything will amaze them? They're just, like, almost anything they see amazes them. And then there's other people that are just never amazed by anything. No matter what happens, it just doesn't faze them. I'd put myself right at about the middle. Right?
Yeah.
Right? How about you? Do you have an amazed quotient?
Yeah, I'm easy.
Do you amaze pretty easily?
I'm gullible. Yeah. I believe everyone. You and Steve, I don't know why. I should have learned by now.
My hair looks great today.
Fantastic.
Wendy.
Thank you. I honestly agree. Yep. So. Yep.
Yesterday, I was working out at the health club, and I'm on a machine, and there's a guy maybe 8 or 10 feet away from me on another, or next to a machine. He had just used a machine. And out of nowhere, he does a complete backflip. He's just standing there. He had used the machine, and he's standing there. And then, like, as if it were no big deal, he just completely launches himself up in the air and lands properly.
Did he land on the treadmill?
No, he was.
Because that would have been more impressive if it was moving and he did the backflip and landed on the treadmill.
Or on the elliptical.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been the best.
Or the stair climber.
Or anything.
Or the elephant.
He wasn't on a treadmill. He was on a one that works your upper body. You know, it was like a bar that you pull down and, you know.
Yeah.
You
the lat bar.
Yeah, the lat bar. And I watched him do it. And then, like, for a second, I'm like, well, he didn't do that. I'm seeing things. A guy just didn't go from a standing position to a backflip and then just get on with his life. Like, I would just be telling everybody, right. Did you see what I just did? So then, like, 10 or 12 minutes later, he's next to me by a machine, and I go, this is weird. I have to ask you a question. The first time you did that backflip thing, did you have a plan B? And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, because, like, the whole time I'd be thinking about doing it, I'd go, what if I can't do this? What's going to happen? And he laughed and he goes, well, the first few times I did it on a trampoline.
Obviously, you're not going to do it thinking you're not going to follow through with it.
He said to me later, I talked because I asked him a bunch of questions.
Was it Jesse White, by the way?
Yeah. It was Jesse White of the Jesse White Tumblers.
So then he walked away and you followed.
Yeah, I wouldn't
yeah,
leave
really?
Him alone.
Right. God.
He's here. Can I bring him out? I want to introduce you to him. Because I said, I've always wanted to try what you just did, but I'm afraid I would break my neck and kill myself
well,
if I did that.
You have to know how to do it.
And did you ask him why?
I didn't ask him why, because that's a great question. Right?
Was there a show off?
Was there a girl standing around
no.
trying to impress?
No. Nope.
Just you?
He wanted to impress me. What's wrong with that?
That's radio's Bill Left.
Yeah.
Slightly amazed sometimes.
I bend
Watch
over backwards
this.
To impress him.
He already did. Yeah.
He said to me, and this was the most interesting part of our conversation, I felt. He said, here's the weird thing about that. He goes, most people can do that. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you just have to commit to it. And I said,
That's
no, because I don't think it's true either.
That is not true.
I don't think it is.
First of all, you have to learn the technique for it. I mean, think back when you were a little kid. Hang on. You do a frontward somersault.
Yeah.
That's easy. You just, momentum takes you over. But
right.
then the first time you do a backwards one, there's a little bit of getting to know how to do it. It just doesn't come naturally.
I don't think it does.
Isn't that what he's saying? That if you work at it, you can do it?
No. Because
no.
He said
anyone can just do it.
He goes, we all have it in us. It's
no.
the thing that prevents most people from doing it. And then in my head, I'm going, common sense? Because I don't want to break my neck doing a backflip, right? He goes, is that you don't commit all the way. You second guess yourself as you're up in the air.
That's not
But
true.
I wouldn't even know how to start doing something like that.
That's like saying everybody could walk up to the end of a diving board and do this fantastic
right.
triple spin over dive thing.
I agree with you.
You know, it doesn't just come naturally. Right. These are things that you're taught and you practice and you perfect.
Right, right.
And you want to have to do it. I mean,
right,
I don't like him.
You don't like him? Why?
Because, first of all, he
too
just
showy.
Doesn't. Yeah.
Well, my other question was going to be, why? What made you do it just now? Like, what happened just now that you go, I haven't done a backflip in a couple of days. I should really do one now.
Did you ask him that?
No, I didn't ask him that. Because I'll be honest, I was in awe of this guy. Because I don't know how, every split second of that, I'd be going, I'm not going to make it. I'm gonna break my neck and kill myself doing this.
You would.
For no reason at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't try it.
But it was so impressive to see. Didn't, Steve, do you remember, did Ozzie Smith of the Cardinals shortstop, I want to say there was a time where Ozzie Smith, the Cardinals shortstop, when the Cardinals would be running out on the field, would do something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe a cartwheel.
No, I thought he did a backflip or a forward flip or something.
Isn't that the best part of parades, though, when you see the Jesse White tumblers come up with the flatbed and pull out the mat, and then they get the springboard and they get going?
I like that.
I'm amazed at how high they get.
I don't know how they do it. It's quite a skill.
But it is a skill. It's not like you can just be working out and then all of a sudden go, I'm going to do a backflip and do it. This guy's a whack job.
This guy, who to my knowledge is the only guy I know who can do a backflip like this, I don't think I know anyone else who can do that. But his theory is that most of us can do it. But wouldn't it, like if I said to you right now, try it. You wouldn't, there's no way you would even try it, would you? I wouldn't even, like a part of me is like, when I get home, I'm going to see if I can do it. I can do that. There's no way.
I wouldn't do it. That is one thing. I'm pretty athletically inclined for most things except anything gymnastically.
Really?
Because I can't do it. You know, obviously we gravitate to things that come easily for us. So I was in track. Anyone could run.
Yeah.
Basketball, I loved it. Came pretty easy for me. Softball, I wasn't really that good, but it was fun.
Yeah.
But gymnastics, I took lessons with like three friends of mine who could do things beautifully and gracefully. I could do a cartwheel and a roundup.
Well, you have to
and
be
that
flexible.
Was about it.
You have to be
flexible,
very flexible.
And you have to have vertical, you know, be able to bounce well and all that. And
it's
I
hard.
I could never do that.
I
have
a lot of good gymnastic and Jasmine, you're part of the cheer squad.
Yes, I am.
Can you do a backflip, Jazz, if all conditions were right.
Mattress on the ground.
And I was going to say, that's how I learned. I took my mattress off when I was like 8 of my twin bed and just started flipping because I was like, I saw the Jesse White tumblers, actually. Yeah. And I was like, I can do this. I can do it. And he's like, yeah, just put your mind to it. One of the tumblers. And I went home and I cracked my head until I got it.
Oh, no.
That's how I learned. And I got into gymnastics and cheerleading. And that's how I learned.
Right there. There's your back flipper.
Yeah. I didn't know you could do that.
I mean, that's impressive. I probably can't do it now. Oh. Kind of old, but. No, I bet I can. Yeah, put my mind to it, right?
You do need to see. Everybody has tight hammies. I'm sorry. That is the tightest muscle on everyone's body are the hamstrings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you would have to stretch out and get ready to do it. I was able to do a cartwheel in my younger years, and maybe about 20 years ago, we were playing around in the backyard, and I'm like, I'm going to do a cartwheel. I was sore for like eight weeks.
Yeah, it messes with you. Try doing a somersault now.
I wouldn't even be able to. Remember when you were a kid,
you could do it all day, right? You could just spend the day doing somersaults.
We're
when my nephew
stiff
was a little kid,
now.
I was messing with him, and I go, I'll do a somersault along with you. I'm still dizzy. That was 6 years ago. I'm still dizzy from that. It screws your head up. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more talk. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. What if a judge in a case, the case was over and somebody was guilty, and instead of sending him to jail, just go, I'll take 20 Hail Marys and 14 Our Fathers, and you're free to leave.
That would be a good thing
for the
person.
That would be incredible. Yeah. I know you're a fan of the game Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Did you see this lady who got in some trouble because of Candy Crush?
No, I got to see what level I'm on. I got to be honest with you. My knee replacement was the best thing ever.
Because?
Because I have to go to physical therapy. It was 3 times a week, then 2 times a week. So I don't just come home and take a nap and play Candy Crush anymore.
Oh, it changed your day.
I'm actually doing stuff.
You're doing stuff.
I think the last time I played was 2 days ago. Not even every day. Come on. This is huge.
There was a time where every day you were playing it. Democratic Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence of Michigan was caught playing Candy Crush during President Trump's State of the Union address on Tuesday.
That's the last time I played it.
Were you playing against her?
I'm not even kidding you. I was listening to the WGN app. I turned the sound down on Candy Crush, and yeah. I was crushing it while I was listening to the president.
That's a nice 1-2 punch. A photo from Getty Images appears to show Lawrence playing. It doesn't appear. It's her playing Candy Crush. They can put the word appear in there, but that's what you're seeing is this woman, this Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence, playing Candy Crush during the speech. Fox News reached out to King. Who's King? There's nobody named King mentioned in the story.
Gail King?
Yeah, Gail King, Oprah's best friend. Oh, I'm sorry. The developers of Candy Crush.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have known that.
That's they show their logo every time you play it, right?
How do you know that if you don't play it?
I've heard stories. To confirm whether or not it was one of the many Candy Crush spinoffs or a competitor, they did not respond to the request for a comment. Lawrence's office also did not respond to a request for comment. Okay, so here's the quick question. It's kind of up to her to do what she wants to do. She's there. She's listening to the speech. If she wants to play Candy Crush during the speech, is that horrible?
No. I'm telling you, you do not have to think while you play that game, which is why I like it. You don't. Although it does distract me from my many endless lists in my head.
Sure, I bet it does.
So maybe it helps you tune out what's going on, hence not listening to the...
Do you think that this was premeditated? Do you think she went, look, I don't want to have to sit there for 80 minutes and listen. I'm not a fan of his. I got to have a backup plan. I got to do something during the speech. Or do you just think like a couple minutes in, she went, ugh, I've heard this all before. I got to find something.
I don't think it was premeditated.
It just happened organically.
Ever since the iPhone and Candy Crush came around, I really didn't mind going to take my car in for an oil change because I finally could sit there for an hour and play unencumbered.
Right. Lawrence, the congresswoman, Brenda Lawrence, was not the only one to be somewhat distracted from Donald Trump's remarks. The Daily Mail, which first reported on the photo, also noted that Bonnie Watson Coleman of New Jersey was reading responses to her tweets during the speech.
Was anyone reading a book on Audible or listening to it with their headphones?
No, it doesn't say anybody was doing that.
Or reading a book, you know, on the iBooks or whatever.
No one had a Rubik's Cube. No one had a ball and paddle.
That would be distracting, Bill.
That would be very distracting.
Listen, unless you outlaw phones at this, everybody's going to be checking. Everybody does it.
I'm a little surprised that they don't say, all right, this is not the time.
Turn them off.
Right.
In your pocket or in your purse.
The best one, though, was Ruth Bader Ginsburg during Obama's speech a couple of years ago, where she just nodded off. They just showed her just kind of her head was just kind of floating.
Elderly.
And she just eventually just. And you know what? I give her credit because I think a lot of people under that same situation would go, no, I wasn't sleeping.
Right. Everybody says that.
Right. I guess you have to say that. But she not only copped to it. She not only said, yeah, I dozed off a few times, but she said they gave us some wine beforehand. I had too much wine.
That makes you sleepy.
I love that. That's as honest can be.
I'm not saying
I was drunk. I'm just saying I had too much wine. And I slept it off during the speech.
Can I ask you a question? Other than Ruth Bader Ginsburg and me, why, like if you ever, in the old days when there weren't cell phones and you'd call someone and you could obviously tell they were sleeping and you'd say, were you sleeping? Everyone would go, no,
I wasn't sleeping.
I would always go, yeah, I was. What do you want?
It's better.
Why do people deny that they were sleeping?
There's some need to not be caught sleeping that everybody has. I don't know why. It's a natural. We all sleep. But you're right. The first impulse, were you sleeping? It's 4 in the morning. No, I was up. I was up doing stuff. Right. Right. How may I help you better? All right. We'll take a quick break. A lot of stuff on today's show. Dr. Julie Morita joins us after the news to talk about kids and smoking. Turns out, Wendy, it's bad. Spoiler alert. Kids should not be smoking.
What would
I know
we
in
do
the past
you?
We have suggested that kids should smoke, but now Julie Morita says no, just the opposite. Kids should not be smoking. Wow. An about face. Kurt Wagner joins us at 11:05 to also talk about kids smoking. That's odd. I don't know why we'd book two guests in a row like that. And then
musical guest Smoking Popes.
The Smoking Popes?
They're not here. But we do have a musical guest.
Yes, the front man for Super Diamond, Surreal Neil. From what we understand, the best Neil Diamond tribute band in the galaxy. They will join us. So a lot of stuff coming up. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Smoking. is not good for you. Da na 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 da na da na 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 da na da na na na. It makes your teeth yellow. It makes you cough lots. The kids don't like it, so you guys should stop. Please, please, please stop because all the kids hate it. Please, please stop because all the kids hate it. Please, please stop because all the kids hate it.
This is the Please Stop Smoking song.
Yep, it's been very effective.
You recorded that with your teenage...
Chance the Cigarette Rapper and I put that together for you, Wendy.
Cigarette Roller.
Cigarette Roller.
All right. The commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health is with us, Dr. Julie Morita. It's so nice to have you back in the studio.
It's great to be here.
You were going to talk to us about kids smoking. I have been searching through my emails. The high school that my son goes to sent an email out saying, we just want to make parents aware that vaping is a big problem for high school kids. And I'm thinking, they're not doing it in school. And then they mentioned something in the email about Juuls. I didn't know what they were. Asked my 15-year-old.
That's the grocery store that people are buying the vapors at,
no,
right?
No, it's spelled differently.
Oh, it is?
J-U-U-L.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh.
Okay, and there's another name for it, too, isn't there?
There's another brand called Fix, P-H-I-X. So they're small, really tiny e-cigarettes.
And they look like they're incognito, Bill. They look like maybe a mechanical pencil refill container or a flash drive.
Yeah.
So what are these kids doing? Just having them out in the open and doing it in the hallway?
Well, I don't know if they're doing it necessarily in the school, but they certainly are trying it outside of the school. So
how come these aren't really outlawed?
So they are, the use of or purchasing tobacco is banned in the city of Chicago for anybody that's younger than 21.
And this still falls under the bracket of tobacco, or it doesn't?
It does, because most of these products actually have nicotine in them.
Oh.
And nicotine comes from tobacco, and so they've been deemed tobacco products. And so because of that, it's illegal to sell these products to people that are younger than 21.
It's 21. I thought it was 18.
No, in 2016, we increased the age to 21.
I can say I'm a former smoker since November. I quit smoking.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm going to keep it going. I noticed all the people my age, I was the only one who smoked. It seems like everyone has quit. And I have two sons, teenagers, who hated me smoking, so they have not smoked. And a lot of their friends don't smoke, but is it still a problem, or is it less than it used? Is it more than it used to be?
So we're really excited to say that the percentage of teens smoking cigarettes has dropped dramatically. And so this last year in 2017, the percentage was only 6%, and it dropped from 13.6%.
Oh, that's good.
But part of those numbers are because the kids switched to vaping, though, isn't it?
That's possible. So this is just of people, kids using traditional cigarettes, it dropped from 13.6 to 6%, mm-hmm. which is dramatic.
Yeah.
But then we also know that about 6.6% of high school students are now using these e-cigarettes or vaping products. There's some overlap, so it doesn't mean we just add 6 to 6.6, but we know there's some overlap, so some of those kids that are smoking traditional cigarettes are also smoking these other e-cigarettes.
Yeah.
But we also know that these e-cigarettes are being used fairly commonly among the young people.
They're not as bad for you as traditional cigarettes,
no,
but they're not. Great for you. There's no health benefits in vaping, is there?
So this really esteemed body of scientists in the National Academy of Medicine just did a review of comprehensive literature about these products. And what they found is that these e-cigarettes or vaping products can be helpful to some adults who are trying to switch from regular tobacco to get off of tobacco completely.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some hints of data that would suggest that. What we don't have is data to say that they're safe to use, because there are other elements. Even though there's not burned tobacco in these vaping products, nicotine is there, and that's damaging to brain development. Nicotine is highly addictive. We know that when young kids are trying these products, their brains are more likely to get addicted, and so they have these lifelong addictions with tobacco.
Right.
And so that's why the mayor and the city has been so focused on doing things to prevent access to young people, because we don't want our generation of kids to actually have this habit.
It is a stupid thing. When I talk to my teenage boys, so-and-so's vaping. Oh, they got an orange one. They got a fruit punch flavored one. I started smoking at a pretty young age. I shouldn't have. You have to teach your body how to smoke, because your body wants to cough out the smoke. So you need to condition yourself to smoke. It tastes like smoke. It's you get addicted to the nicotine. When you're young, you don't think. You go, oh, you know, I'll quit whenever I want. You don't realize that it's a really tough thing to have on your back. Also, these fruit-flavored things, why do you want a cigarette? Why don't you just open a can of High C? Why are you doing fruit-flavored nicotine? It seems so stupid.
Manufacturers, tobacco manufacturers, the industry is deceptive. So they are marketing specifically to young people because they want adults to have lifelong addictions. And they know if they start young, the kids will be addicted and they'll continue to use them. And what do kids like? They like fruit-flavored cotton candy,
bubble gum,
watermelon. Those flavors are how they package them, how they market them to the young people, so they use them.
I'm guilty of this. My lip balm is Dr. Pepper flavored, so I'm a little guilty of this myself.
Do you still
Julie.
Have lip smackers?
Yeah, I have lip smackers in my wallet. It's still amazing to me that they sell candy cigarettes. I've been, one of the gas stations I go to has a big box of candy cigarettes when you walk in, and I go, how in this day and age don't they know that there's nothing good about this?
But they didn't make you want to smoke.
No,
you
they didn't
pretended.
Make you want to smoke. No. But it was always weird to see a bunch of 6-year-olds standing out in front of their office building with candy cigarettes.
Very so, exciting. I mean, I think we've taken it really seriously, focusing on young people. And so that's why in 2016, we banned the sale of tobacco products to people that are younger than 21, recognizing that they can't purchase it, they're less likely to get addicted. And so that is the focus. And e-cigarettes and vaping products are included in that as well. So it is illegal to sell tobacco products of any kind to people younger than 21.
Let's say there's a kid and he knows that cigarettes aren't good and he thinks, well, I'll try vaping for a little bit. Is he more apt to be a constant user? Will he get hooked on them the same way a kid would get hooked on regular cigarettes?
Yeah, so these vaping products, because they have nicotine, they serve as a gateway. They can serve as a gateway into using regular traditional tobacco products.
Really?
Because you get addicted and then you want to try something else. And so you try chew or you try cigarillos or you try cigarettes. And then the next thing you know, you have a lifelong addiction.
Does the tobacco company cop to the fact now, I know they didn't always, that they are addictive? There was a time where they fought that and said, oh, no, we don't find these addictive at all. But
no, they actually have acknowledged it. In fact, they were actually... Earlier or late last year, they were actually demanded. They actually do marketing campaigns to really make it clear these products are harmful to your health.
And it says it on the package.
Yeah, so there's acknowledgement of that. But that doesn't mean they're not coming up with new deceptive nicotine delivery devices to get people addicted young. So they have to acknowledge it in their marketing campaigns and efforts, but they still are creating these other devices.
We were talking off the air, and you mentioned this on the air too, that a young brain is more apt to become addicted to something. Don't want to get on the whole legalizing marijuana situation. I'm for it. I know a lot of people are. Again, you shouldn't be smoking or drinking or taking marijuana under the age of 26. Isn't that when your brain is still forming?
Right. So the brain is still developing up until you're 26. And so the feeling is that if people are using these products or getting exposure to things, that can be more harmful to the brain itself because it's still developing. It's not fully mature.
26 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't think that. You think, you know, even 21, you're like, oh, I'm fully developed. I'm an adult now. But no.
We're still growing, always growing.
Why doesn't, like, the diseases like emphysema that somebody who's a lifelong smoker, why don't those translate into people who are big pot smokers? They don't seem to, do they?
See, I don't know that we know that.
Oh, it's possible.
I mean, there is concern. Yeah. There is concern that there are these other side effects that can happen if people inhale too much marijuana as well. And I think the data, I don't know the data well enough to know if that's as clear. The tobacco is clear cut. I'm not so sure.
I think it's only because I really believe smokers smoke more cigarettes than potheads smoke pot.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's not like they smoke all day long,
and
like
potheads
Wayne
isn't
and Garth.
The right term. You want to say Grateful Dead fans, right? Is that the more proper usage?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. Julie Morita's here. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear them. We're at 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, it's WGN Radio, and we have Dr. Julie Morita in the studio with us, Commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health. Congratulations on your promotion. We started talking to you. What was your position when we originally talked to you?
I was a medical director for immunization program.
Look at this
look
big
at
jump.
This.
She's the head honcho
very,
now.
Very, very nice. Julie, I know this is the most simple question. It's a very basic question, but it needs to be asked. 708, why are e-cigarettes bad? I know that seems simple, but it's a little more complex, isn't it?
So there's a couple of issues that we're concerned about. They are nicotine delivery devices. And as we said, when young people are using it and their brains are still developing, nicotine is a toxin to the brain development. So that's not a good thing. It's also highly addictive. And so it can lead to addiction, lifelong addiction, or just long addiction to nicotine. routine. But on top of that, the delivery devices themselves, in order to get the vapor, there's chemicals that are included in those devices. And those chemicals can be irritants to the nose, to the throat, to the lungs.
Yeah.
So when we talk about bad effects of smoking cigarettes, like emphysema, chronic lung disease, these chemicals could lead to those same kinds of problems, and we just don't have the data to know for sure long-term what that does. So I have major concerns about individuals inhaling anything that has a chemical in it that's not natural, because I think we have concerns about the long-term consequences on your lungs, on your nose, on your throat.
Is this governed by the FDA, the AMA, or who? Who's in charge of this?
So tobacco products are regulated by the FDA, and so the FDA has decided they will be regulating these products, but they've postponed their rules until 2022, I think. So there's still some time before those rules are actually clarified. So in the meantime, the products are out there, they're being used, and so that's why we were so aggressive in saying they are like tobacco products, other tobacco products, they need not to be sold to children, because we just don't want them to be accessible. And we increase the taxes on them, so they actually are less affordable, because kids can't pay the high prices. And so
adults can't pay the high prices.
This is true.
That was another reason that, although I'll tell you, being a smoker, you know, it's funny because it's like cigarettes were $2 a pack when I started, and other people say they were 60 cents. And everyone says, oh, I'll quit when they get up to $5 a pack. I mean, I was paying $10 for a pack of cigarettes. Yeah.
But that says a lot about the addiction portion of this, is that your body, despite the price tag, your body just craves it and you go for it.
That's
don't
right.
You?
That's why we don't want kids. That's why we're focusing on kids so much, because we don't want kids to develop that addiction and then they don't have to deal with trying to break the habit. They're just never addicted.
I just want to say, and there have been people that have been texting me, I quit by using Nicorette gum whenever I had the urge to smoke, which was really on my drive into work and my drive home. I would just use the Nicorette gum, the orange flavored, because it tasted like Juicy Fruit. And then after I didn't want nicotine anymore, I switched to Juicy Fruit.
That's right.
And there's a healthful cigarette I got on Amazon. You don't have to be 21 to get it, because there's nothing in it. It's no nicotine. There's a weighted thing in there. So when a smoker would draw, you would feel like you're inhaling something, and it was nothing.
Yeah.
So that worked in less than a month.
Stay strong.
You
I
have
will.
To stay strong.
That's great.
I know it's bad for kids to smoke cigarettes, but smoking pipes is still okay, right?
What about chewing tobacco, though?
Oh, that's a problem as well. Mouth cancer, tongue cancer, it's really bad. So it's all tobacco products really are not good for anybody to be using.
You know, there was a time, I'm a huge baseball fan, and if you watched a Saturday morning baseball game, a Saturday afternoon game, they'd cut to the dugout and half the guys would be chewing tobacco. And I don't know if the players realized it or the camera guys realized we got to stop showing them, but I don't remember the last time I saw a guy in the dugout chewing tobacco. It eats right through your jaw, doesn't it?
So we actually banned the use of chewing tobacco, those products, in baseball stadiums.
That's why sunflower seeds all the time now.
You see bubble gum?
Yeah.
Sunflower seeds. But it's, you know, these guys are role models. I love the Cubs and I love to see them play, but they are role models. And so we don't want to see them with a big wad of chew in their lip.
Right.
It's what kids idolize and emulate.
Now, I'm just curious, because I know a couple millennials that chew. They refuse to have I would never smoke. They work out a lot. You know, I would never get smoke into my lungs. I take care of my body. And it's very popular among that age. Since cigarettes are down, you said almost 6%, is chewing tobacco up?
So among high school students, it's not.
Okay.
That chewing tobacco isn't so much. But what's interesting is they're actually using cigars and little cigarillos. So
high school kids are?
High school.
The Swisher Sweets.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
So about 7.7% of kids are using those. So we're concerned about it. So we always are looking to see, what are the kids using? How are they getting access to these? What can we do to make them less accessible, less affordable, and less attractive? I mean, that's the other thing. We had some major marketing campaigns to really make it clear that these are harmful products. Not attractive. They don't make you attractive either by using these products.
Smoking is glamorous. Remember when we were growing up?
Remember
that ad?
Yeah.
That's right.
And they'd have the woman with the wrinkles and she looked terrible and her coloring was bad.
That's right. Right. So that's our goal, is really to make people aware that these are not things. They don't make you look cool. They don't make you look good. You end up with lung disease. You can end up with cancer, mouth cancer, or lung cancer. It's just they're not good.
The other ad campaign I remember as a kid was, they did one with John Wayne and they did one with Yul Brynner.
I remember Yul.
Both of whom died of cancer from smoking, and you saw them after they died saying, hey, it's too late for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dead, but here's your chance. I thought that was very effective.
That's right.
And, you know, it's funny because, Bill, still prior to me quitting, and you know, again, it's just been since November, but you have to keep trying, and eventually it'll work. You said, how can you smoke knowing that you're going to get cancer and it's going to kill you? For some reason, we all know that. Any smoker will know I will ultimately probably succumb to some disease because of this. But is that just to prove again how addictive this nicotine is?
That's right. And I also think we also have a false sense of security about our health. Oh, that may apply to other people, but it doesn't apply to me. It's same with flu. I don't need a flu shot because I'm not going to get sick with the flu. Everybody
and look at what the flu has done to people.
Right, but if you, so that's why we have to start young with an addiction like nicotine. Start young. Don't let them get addicted.
Sure.
So they don't have to deal with stopping. And then for the flu vaccine, get the flu shot because it can affect anybody.
Have you ever been to the McCarran Airport in Las Vegas?
No.
There's a smoking lounge in the McCarran Airport.
I've been there.
It's a glass room. Have you been in there?
Yeah, and
it's like
I
an
tell
aquarium.
You, as it is, and as a smoker, it was too smoky for me.
It's
just some slot
giant
machines.
It's glass room with slot machines in there.
And everybody's just trying to get their last drags in.
There's smoke in the
terrible
room just like hovering, like a hazy smoke. And you just see people, their eyes are bulgy and they look desperate because they've lost money and they're getting cancer at the same time.
No. Whee!
And you walk past there and just go, even if I was the world's biggest smoker and I looked into that room, I would never touch another cigarette.
That's right. So we should take a picture of that and use
that
as an ad campaign.
That's the ad campaign. Yeah.
Even as a smoker, it was terrible.
Oh, the worst. Yeah.
All right. So what do we do as parents to prevent our kids from dealing with this? They're all aware of it. I actually could learn stuff from my teenage boys because I, like I said, Juul and what else is it called?
Fix.
Have you ever heard of
them? I've never heard of either one of them.
Yeah, right.
But that's not marketed toward me.
Right.
It's for kids.
There's new products coming available all the time to get kids addicted to their nicotine delivery devices that are meant to get kids hooked, and we need to stop them.
So we need to be aware of it as parents, so thank you for telling us about those.
Search online. I think people should search online and look and see what the products look like so that if they see their kids keeping them, they know. And then talk about it.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to talk about, especially someone like you, Wendy, who's gone through this process and have given up the habit, and how hard it was for you to let kids know, we don't want you to smoke now because if you do, you're going to get addicted, and it's so hard to
stop. It is.
Stop.
And you don't think that as a kid.
That's
you
right.
don't think you're going to get cancer.
No.
That's right.
And you think, oh, God, I can quit whenever I want.
Right. I mean, they're not inexpensive either. That's the other thing. So if you see your kids spending a lot of money or they're not, you're not sure where money is going, you have to wonder, what are they purchasing? And so they're while we've raised the prices, they're not inexpensive.
Yeah.
And so it's really a matter of being aware, talking about it with the kids and being open about it too.
That's the best way.
People make fun of video games, but that's why I like video games, because sometimes your kids don't go out and you can keep an eye on them and they're in their house.
Mario Brothers don't smoke.
No.
Never.
You're right.
Ever, ever, ever. Julie, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you so much, Steve. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. And on Friday, Kurt Wagner stops by and then Wendy makes that noise.
It's a rock lobster noise.
That's what happens.
It is the rock lobster noise.
Kurt, thank you for being here. You just threw a theory at Wendy and myself, and I wish you would share it with the entire class because I think it's a good one.
Well, I'm glad you caught it.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
You know this whole thing with the Natalie Wood's death and how now they're deeming it suspicious.
Robert Wagner is now a person of interest.
After 30 years.
Yes.
Robert Wagner is now a person of interest.
Yes.
His wife, or her husband at the time.
Yes.
I think that will be a future season of American Crime Story or one of those crime anthologies.
Because all the elements are there.
Actually, it could be the new one, Unsolved, which is coming to USA Network. That first one of that is going to be the two-pack Biggie.
Like it.
Series
Biggie Smalls. Biggie Smalls?
Yeah. It starts in March, And it's sort of that in that same vein.
So when you do a version of this where the crime has not yet been solved, how do you end that? I know they even do that sometimes like on a 48 hours. They'll show you a 2-hour, 48 hours mystery, and then in the end they go, we still don't know who killed him. And we go, oh, I just sat for 2 hours.
I think so.
I
mean, they might do what are those called, postscript or whatever, where they just, as of, you know, the creation of the show, or as of whatever date,
update.
The crime is still unsolved. Such and such has been cleared. Or nothing has been discovered.
Oh, I hope you're right. That would be great. So who would play, do we know who would play Robert Wagner and who would play Natalie Wood and who'd play Christopher Walken? Do we know?
Well, we'd have to find someone. They would have to find someone who could be in there.
Natalie Portman could do Natalie Wood.
That's not bad.
In the
40s
and 50s, and then also 30 years older.
Yes.
And wouldn't look too fake in aging makeup.
I like it.
So... yeah,
or Sarah Paulson could play everybody.
She really is talented. A chameleon.
She probably could.
She could play the entire cast.
She probably
cast.
Could play everybody. Well, you mentioned Rob Lowe.
Yeah. Well, Rob Lowe played Robert Wagner in the Austin Powers movies when they went back in time.
So could he still be the 50-year-old?
I think he's too old now. Well,
he could do it towards the, like, the now.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Although he's friends with Robert Wagner.
Oh.
So that might be awkward if you're playing him and he's a person of interest.
That may not be.
That might not work.
You and I are friends. If I got a gig to be on TV to make you look like something,
no, I get it.
Totally do.
I don't blame
you. Look like a murderer.
I don't blame. No, I don't blame her.
Depends how well they pay.
Here's a rumor from the world of television. They said, and I don't know if this is true or not, maybe you do, that the ads for the Super Bowl, this is the first year that the ads have gone down in price, that normally they go up every year, but that this year the prime ads have gone down a little bit. Can that be true?
$5 million for 30 seconds.
That's a lot
of
money.
Yeah.
That went down?
I don't know if that's down or not. I just
thought. I don't think that's down.
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
wonder there aren't very many 2-minute commercials.
They're already showing a lot of the commercials on various websites.
They're leaking.
That's been going on for a couple
and
years now.
You know, they show them. Yes. They either show the full ad or they show part of it and there's going to be some ending to it. Or they've done too in an, like I know the, what's it, is it Pepsi? No, it's Bud Light. I don't know who it is. Now I can't think of who it is. But they've done a series of 30-second ads.
Yeah.
And then they'll show this and to tell the story and then they show
the payoff will be on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah.
Right.
And they Tide does that a lot with Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Like they've shown him with the guy from Stranger Things, the guy who plays the sheriff in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Because the story is that the sheriff is that this guy is taking over as the spokesperson for Tide.
Oh, yeah.
And in one of the things he's getting his makeup on, and Terry says, "What's going on?" He says, "Oh, I'm doing this Tide commercial." And Terry says, "You're doing a Tide commercial?" He goes, "Yeah, I heard the guy who did it last year really dropped the ball."
Oh.
And then Terry Bradshaw, who did it last year,
right.
You know, it gets all offended and stuff. So so they're leading up to whatever that's going to be as the finale of that that story.
All right.
So yeah, there's a bunch of different ways they do it, and sometimes they just release it early, which is kind of silly to me.
I don't understand that. I would rather
then it's not a Super Bowl.
I know they're available early, but I want to see them during the Super Bowl.
Right,
I wait
for the first time.
Right,
I think I'm going to watch them early.
Yeah, get them out of your system.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So, but there's a bunch of them that are going all different ways.
Will there be any talking animals? They've never done that before, have there?
You know what? I didn't see any talking animals.
Really?
But there's some really mean robots in one of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's going to come to be true someday.
Yeah, any day now.
But the talking animals...
It's sort of very frightening, the idea of AI robots starting to get that kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll see the ads that were considered to be the best of any given year, and then I look at them like... I always think of the Budweiser frogs, because that year when they did the Budweiser...
That was awesome!
See, now...
Budweiser...
Watch it now and see if you still think it's awesome. Because when you see it now, you go, that was like the top, that was the top commercial one year. People love that the most.
I don't like
frogs.
The talking baby. I, you know.
That's eerie.
That I don't like when they make
That's
it
very
like
eerie.
An adult baby.
Yeah.
Right. I work with an adult baby and I'm married to an adult baby.
Wait a minute.
Well, CBS just did a countdown of the greatest. They do it every year before the Super Bowl of the greatest ads. And that one was in the top 10.
I'm going to guess
they showed it.
The 2001 IBM commercial was probably number one or number two.
What was that?
Which one was that?
It was just showing IBM computers, and it looked like George Orwell's 1981.
No, it was 84. An animal commercial that won.
I saw it early. I watched it early.
It was an animal commercial that won, but...
Clydesdales?
I can't remember which one
the
it
Clydesdales,
was.
I the miss Clydesdales. Them.
No Clydesdales
I know,
this year.
I miss them.
Although they're doing a little bumper ad, like a 5-second bumper ad that just lets you know that the Clydesdale cam will be on Budweiser's
The Clydesdale cam?
Will be on Budweiser's Facebook page.
What
so
does that,
that
mean?
They'll launch it as soon as the commercial airs.
Yeah.
And and you can watch the Clydesdales to see what they're doing, like a live cam, webcam.
I'm not going to do that.
I wonder what they'll be doing.
Well, you eating know. Grass?
Right, standing around.
They'll be running
taking
around.
Taking a leak?
The bumper ad shows them like walking in downtown St. Louis.
Oh, really?
On the middle of the street and everything. Oh. I doubt they'll be doing that.
No.
And no Skittles ad. You can watch the, they only showed it to one person, and you can watch the reaction on Facebook live during the Super Bowl, yeah. which I am going to check
That's
out.
That's interesting that yeah. they've done that.
That's a little weird.
It saved a lot of money, man.
Yeah, definitely. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll pick this up in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here. His website is TVShowPatrol.com. And on Twitter, you can find him at Show Patrol. Is that right? Just Show Patrol?
That is right.
That's it? That's it. You had one more Super Bowl thing we wanted to discuss.
The big What Happened to Jack?
Oh, episode Jack Pearson.
Of This Is Us airs right after the Super Bowl on NBC.
Wendy and I were discussing this yesterday, that it's a very interesting place for this episode because your Super Bowl fans may not necessarily be your fans of the drama This Is Us. There might not be that much crossover, but that's a prime slot for any TV show to be on
right.
after the Super Bowl.
And that's the idea, that people will then tune into the end
Do
of
they
this,
need it? Do they this, need the promotion?
I don't know.
Isn't
maybe
it
not.
Doing
I
great?
I mean, they're also maybe hoping that they get people to stay there.
Right.
Yeah, drunk people who are like coming up off this big game, and then all of a sudden it's going to be Depresso Fest.
Yeah. That's what they were going to call it, too. They were going to call it Depresso Fest.
And then right after wait, that, right after that, the cast of This Is Us will be on The Tonight Show with
really?
Jimmy Fallon, which he's doing
on
it
a
from,
Sunday.
Which he's doing it for Minneapolis.
Oh, he is.
Oh, my God.
I think he's doing
watch.
It for Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to sleep during the Super Bowl so I can stay up late to watch
yeah.
the other stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
How long does the Super Bowl go, though? It only goes
12 hours.
It usually goes about 3 to 3.5 hours.
Yeah, so it starts at 5:30.
Yeah, that's early.
Too long.
So Wendy, you can get it. You'll do it.
You'll
come on.
Be, you'll be all right. Take some of those probiotics. And
yes. That doesn't keep me awake.
See what happens. A Grey's Anatomy spinoff. Now, is Grey's Anatomy, is this their last season, or are they going to
go
beyond? They're
going
to continue. But who
it's
are they?
Still on?
Yeah, it's still on.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's still on. Same time it's always been, I think.
It's on after F Troop.
I loved that show. I stopped watching it probably 10 years ago.
You're missing a lot of romance.
It's still currently
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's still on. Yeah,
there's been a lot of drama since you left.
Meredith Grey's grandchildren are doctors now. You got to tune in. You got to
wow.
see it. Who's being spun off, Kurt? Do we know?
What they're doing is it's sort of a first responders. You know, like the EMTs and
yeah.
the fire department and all that stuff. In Seattle. And so I don't know if it's a character. Maybe they've introduced this character on Grey's this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure because, like Wendy, I have not watched
You're
it.
You're not watching it
time.
Either.
But now they're going to do their own thing. And the season premiere of this show, which will be March 22nd, Meredith herself will be on there.
Good stunt. Good stunt casting.
Handing it over.
People oh. like her, so they'll watch the show.
Yeah, there's actually, there'll be a couple
yeah,
there.
Yeah, she's still on it.
Yeah, she is. But her husband,
currently.
Her husband.
He's dead.
She
he
got
kicked
married?
The bucket years ago. Well, Patrick Dempsey played her husband, you know.
I guess that's when I bailed.
You stopped when they killed him off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In honor of Pete McMurray, because Pete thinks he looks like him, and I felt
oh,
sorry for him.
That was very nice of you to do.
So they didn't have a title for this, and when I was at Pasadena when I was at TCA, they didn't have a title, but they had this cast there to
yeah,
talk to us.
But no title.
But now it's called Station 19, and
yeah,
it will
like
debut on March 22nd.
About 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, everybody's
anatomy.
Joking. They should call it Seattle Fire.
Seattle Fire.
But they didn't want to do that because, you know, Chicago Fire.
Catherine Heigl, who was on the show.
Or Grey's Fire
Lizzie.
Station.
Yeah, she was. Was it Lizzie? Was that her name?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it? She's got a new part
a new
on Suits.
On
right?
Suits.
She's kind of replacing
losing...
Meghan Markle, kind of, in a way.
Well, Meghan Markle and Patrick, what's his full name? I can't remember. The couple on there, one of the couples on that show, are both leaving.
Yeah.
So she's...
One of them to be the Princess of England. Or maybe both of them are leaving to be the
I
Princess
don't
of England.
So. I think he's going to.
One of them?
He's smooth, but not that smooth.
No. All right. So Catherine Heigl will replace.
I think he's going to be them. The Duke of Horses or something.
The Duke of Horses. Are you sure? I don't think that sounds right, Kurt, the Duke of Horses. I've told Wendy about this, and I think the name of this show came up once a while ago. There's a show on called Catastrophe. Do you know this show at all?
Yes.
All right. It's a British show about, all I want to say is it's a very unlikely love story between a man and a woman. I don't want to say anything else beyond that. You almost have to see it.
You want me to tell him?
No. Okay. It's better if you don't know, because I only knew a little bit.
Right.
I was only told it's a guy and a girl that you wouldn't really think would get along, and for some reason they do. Boy, do I like this show.
Yeah.
Really so well written. It's Carrie Fisher's last work. She plays the guy's mother, who doesn't want them to get together. She doesn't believe in their relationship. But it's so well written and really well acted. I can't.
Very sad seeing Carrie, isn't it?
You know, it's not as sad as I thought it would be. You know, because we've talked about this, whenever there's an actor and you go, oh, this is the last time I'll get to see him in something, it's very bittersweet to watch that. Mm-hmm. But she's really good in this as an overbearing mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did an American version of it last year that I didn't even know existed.
They did?
Yeah, they called it the same thing. They called it Catastrophe. But in this place, in this one, the love story, I guess, took place here as opposed to in London.
I don't recall that either.
Yeah. Where is this on?
TV.
I'll look it up. Catastrophe.
I don't know who's showing it, but if you can find it, look for it, because it's really well written and so well acted.
But that woman who's in that and who is the writer and creator of that show, Sharon Horgan.
Yes,
she did a show, a British show,
Amazon Prime, by the way,
Amazon Prime,
called Pulling years ago.
Pulling,
that was really good too.
She and the guy in it, the two actors, are also the creators and the writers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they write
and
every
episode. And he's American.
Yeah.
And
really good, too.
But it is.
Delaney is his name.
It's good and funny and real and all that kind of stuff.
And not like anything you're used to seeing on TV. TV usually has a very certain way of introducing characters, and this just doesn't.
Yeah.
I like the way, what they're doing with this.
Which is probably the beauty. I mean, that's one of the beauties of all the streaming services, right?
Getting unconventional.
That the stuff that you would never see on a network.
Yeah.
Because they can't play that game.
I can't imagine if they tried to pitch this show to a network, being what it is, I can't imagine any network going, yeah, that sounds like something we'd be interested in.
Right.
It's very strange.
And even some of the cable networks are safer that
right.
way too, you know. So
right.
so there used to be a smaller place for those kind of stories to
yeah.
go.
Yep.
And
so
we'll
true.
Have I posted the February calendar
mm-hmm.
on my site, and I was looking through that thinking the same thing, because there's some shows we'll talk about later in the month
yeah.
that you would never see. You would never have seen, and they're just great.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for streaming services.
Here's a quick question. On yesterday's edition of Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski kicked Michael Wolff off the show. She had him on to publicize his book. You know, he's written the book about Donald Trump.
Fast and Furious?
Fast and Furious. And then he's on there, and things didn't go well. You know, they accused him of, and there are no Trump fans over there on Morning Joe, but they accused him of kind of falsifying some things.
In the book.
And she kicked him off the show. Now, when something like that happens, is that good for business? Will more people tune into Morning Joe because something controversial just happened, or does that not have any effect, do you think?
People will go look to see the argument,
yeah.
I think.
It's fun to watch.
After the fact.
Because it unravels very quickly.
And then maybe, I mean, I guess it depends if you're... how you're politically lean,
yeah.
whether you'll say, oh, I'm going to go start watching those folks
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
Or if you're even up at that time.
But then here's what happened afterwards. The author, Michael Wolff, then took to Twitter and said some very bad things about her and about Joe Scarborough, who's the host, who wasn't even there during this segment. So it's still playing out now, more than 24 hours later.
Everybody's petty.
I don't like the fights. I am really sick of the fights and the groundhog.
But trust me, if you find this clip, you can't stop watching it.
Because
right from the very beginning of the interview, it's not going well. And they get into a little bit of a shouting match. And then she just out and out kicks him off the show.
See, I guess why I'm uncomfortable with that is having a radio show. It's happened.
Right.
We
had to kick Kurt off a couple of times.
No, we haven't kicked too many people off.
That coughing fit that one.
You had a coughing fit. And I think you said something negative about Nancy Walker once.
And then
we had to kick you off.
Yeah.
That's what happens, Kurt. Kurt Wagner's website is called TVShowPatrol.com. He does have the calendar for the month of February and highlights of things you don't want to miss.
Yeah.
Right? It's all at TVShowPatrol.com.
And Wendy, if you really don't like the groundhog, you need to watch last night's Superstore. They killed off the groundhog.
Oh, okay. Spoiler alert. Well, I like Superstore. It's really funny.
It's funny. And that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Too. Kurt, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Are we done already?
That's it?
I know.
Oh, my God.
That's all there is.
All right.
The cast of This Is Us wants to sit around and talk about you now. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah, good. All right. News Thanks, is Kurt. Next, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Kim. This is going to be so fun.
Sure.
Neil Diamond, in the final minutes of 2017, Neil Diamond stood before more than a million revelers, Sub-Zero, Chill, celebrating New Year's Eve in New York City's Times Square, and he led the crowd into Sweet Caroline, which was a very popular song. It's everywhere now. Bom, bom, bom.
It irritates you for some reason. You're not a fan of the song.
It's just overused.
Yeah.
But it was very sad to hear that Neil Diamond is fighting Parkinson's disease,
awful.
And he is finished performing. We are just getting ready to chat with Surreal Neil, the frontman for Super Diamond, who will be performing at the House of Blues tonight at 7:30, and we were just wowed.
Yeah, we got a little preview of what you're capable of, and this is pretty incredible. You're really good, Surreal Neil.
Thank you very
much. You're very, very welcome. When that announcement was made that Neil Diamond would no longer be touring, how did this affect you? How did you get the news, and what did it do to you?
I was shocked and saddened.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, he's not going to be touring anymore, and I didn't go the last tour. So
how many times have you seen him?
I think about 10 times.
Have you really? Yeah, that's great.
I've never seen him live.
But I know people who I met, like some of the really hardcore Neil Diamond fans from Fond, you know, friends of Neil Diamond, that we started meeting around, you know, the mid-90s. We started in 93, 25 years ago.
Wait, hold on a second. There's a group called Fond. And what is it like? Do you have to apply to get in? How do they get you into this
group? I
think
everyone's welcome.
Everyone's welcome in a Fond.
Everyone's welcome, yeah.
Right.
Friends of Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And some of those people I've become friends with. Some of them, back in 94, 95, when I started meeting them, had already seen Neil like 200 times.
Jeez.
You know? So by now, like 400 or 500 times. So
yeah.
These people who go see him every time he goes out on the road, not only just their home where they live, but they follow him around. So they see him even in other countries. And I feel sorry for them. Their lives aren't going to be the same. There's not going to be any more following Neil. It's like Grateful Dead. You know, Deadheads, like, you know, it's kind of a life thing.
Different crowd, though,
people,
don't you think?
It's a different crowd, Wendy, to be sure. But this could be, I don't want to sound ghoulish, but this could be good for you.
Good for business.
Right? You don't think so?
You know, we've been doing it for 25 years, and I want to do it for, let's see, right now, 25 years, it's our silver anniversary.
Yeah.
Neil is celebrating, was on tour celebrating his 50th anniversary.
Amazing.
Good God.
Add them together, that's 75, that's the diamond anniversary.
Oh, it all ties
in. That's my goal, to do this up until my diamond anniversary.
That's excellent.
I'll be 100 years old by
is
then.
Is he aware
I'll
of,
make it.
Does he know of you? Like, does he know that you're doing this?
He's come to see us twice.
Oh, what was that
both
like?
Both times.
Yeah.
He came on stage to sing some of his songs with us. So
how nervous were you when you knew he was out there?
I was so nervous.
Did you do this? Hey, I'm up here now. Did you do that?
I got this.
Sit down. You had your chance.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
So gracious.
Oh, that
so
must
kind.
Have made your heart beat very fast.
Yeah, I barely remember it. It happened
really?
So fast.
Yeah.
Know,
he
both
is
times.
Such a performer. And I will admit, he's a little hokey at times. He's... he's a performer. Come on. And he's a little hokey, but he's a great musician. He has a great voice and he's a wonderful performer.
You can't let Heart Light ruin his whole life.
That is the worst of it.
Come on. Whatever you do in Chicago, whatever you do, don't ever let anyone ever tell you that Neil Diamond doesn't rock.
Right.
He does. Solitary Man is probably one of the best songs ever.
And Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon? How could he not?
That's
get
a
good
song.
I love that
song. Did he write Heartlight during E.T.? Like, was he watching E.T. with a pen and paper? And just he was inspired by E.T.
Yeah, and, you know, he wrote that with Burt Bacharach.
Oh, yeah.
Prolific
One
songwriter.
One of our greatest. Yeah. Love Burt Bacharach. For a while, I made a living impersonating Selma Diamond, the actress from Night Court. I think it would have been a good show for you and I to work together. I'd do Selma Diamond, you do Neil Diamond, we all go home happy.
Oh, yeah. Great idea.
All right.
Why are you so nice to him?
Well, a friend mentioned years ago about, oh, a show with all Neils. It'll be Neil Diamond and Neil Young and
Neil Sedaka.
Neil Peart.
Oh, now you got a show. That's a good
show. There's your drummer.
Yeah. Will you do a song or two for us? Is it possible?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, excellent.
What should I do, though? Any ideas?
Surprise us.
Upbeat, ballad.
And Wendy wants to do a Name That Tune. Well, would you be offended if we did
here's
that?
Here's the thing, and then do, you know, for real song. But it's like you look at the catalog of all the songs.
Got a lot of hits.
So many songs.
Oh, my God.
He's known for ballads, but like a Super Diamond show is... We don't do that many ballads.
No.
It's not your mom's Neil Diamond, but by all means, bring your mom tonight. It's moms love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we really embellish the songs with a little AC/DC, a little Van Halen, a little Led Zeppelin.
Do you really?
There's little, you know, endings and little some mashups and, you know, Kiss. You know, like a lot of my other favorite bands, Neil Diamond was my first 8-track tape, but I love a lot of other bands as well. And those other bands are just right there in the same genre with Neil Diamond, so it fits perfectly. Hmm.
Didn't you think Forever in Blue Jeans was Reverend Blue
Reverend
Jeans?
Reverend Blue Jeans, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought that as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Money talks. You don't sing and dance and it don't walk. Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be Reverend in blue jeans.
It fits. It fits beautifully.
Maybe tonight. Maybe tonight by the fire all alone you and I. Nothing around but the sound of my heart and your sigh. Neil sang this one with us, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Money talks. It can't sing and dance and it can't walk. Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, yeah. Blue jeans, yeah.
The religious favorite, Reverend Blue Jeans.
Little Led Zeppelin tag at the end.
Yes, that's what sells it. That's what sells it every time.
Here tonight at the House of Blues.
Tonight, House of Blues tickets, where do you get them? House of Blues. You can go to livenation.com. That's the best place to get them. There's a Groupon going on as well. 17 and older. Super Diamond is the band, and Surreal Neil is with us. I just feel like he should start out a couple songs and see if we can get them.
See if we can get it? All right. All right. Na 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 na. That's the name of that song.
You can't ruin the song.
I'm accompanying him. We work together.
Song Sung Blue.
Yeah.
Where it began.
Seltzin Blue.
That's what you thought that was.
Yeah, I thought that was Seltzin Blue. Yeah.
I think Shiloh is a very beautiful
song. Beautiful.
Song Blue. Everybody knows one. First song I remember by
is
Neil
that right?
Diamond,
yeah.
Song, song, blue. Every garden grows one. Me and you, subject to the blues now and then. Shiloh, when I was young, I used to call your name when no one else would come. Shiloh, you always came, come today. Come today. Come today.
Oh, is that nice, Shiloh? That's how I picture you answering your phone. Just picking it up, going, Shiloh, like that. That's how I see you doing it.
Phil, throw him your panties.
I already did. It's cold in here.
Thanks for the idea.
So cold in here.
I don't even have a greeting on my phone. I
think nothing?
It's like somehow it just disappeared. There's nothing. Thinking,
that's not right.
I can't think of anything to put on there, but now I've got an idea.
Shalom. Surreal Neil is here, the front man for Super Diamond. They're performing at the House of Blues tonight. How about that? We'll give you more information. Oh, the phone number, by the way, is 312-923.
Shalom.
Shalom. 2000. Give them a call now, 312-923-2000. Get some tickets to see Surreal Neil and Super Diamond. We'll pick this up in just a few moments. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
LA is fine, the sun shines most of the time, and the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow.
We are having so much fun talking to Surreal Neil off the air, the frontman for Super Diamond, who will be playing at House of Blues tonight, a 7:30 show. Opening act, the Ron Burgundies.
The Ron Burgundies.
The doors are 7:30.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sorry.
Get there at 7:30 and get upset. But,
yeah.
You know,
all right.
Don't
come a little early.
10:15. Yeah, the Ron Burgundies, soft rock, like yacht rock. Really good band. So it's a great combination of 70s and early 80s from them, and mainly 60s and 70s, a little bit of 80s, Neil Diamond. You know, we do a little bit of the jazz singer, but we don't really do anything after that.
Well, here's the question that everyone's asking. When will Jazz Singer 2 come out? We're ready.
Oh, yeah.
We want to see a second jazz singer.
Have to ask Neil about that. I don't know. Yeah.
You
Neil's not touring anymore, but he's still writing and recording.
Yeah.
Maybe he can do some acting.
I hope so.
It kills me that you're just sitting here and we mention a song. I'm like, you know, girl, you'll be a woman soon. There was a part in some movie I couldn't remember. I said, was it Pulp Fiction? You said yes. And then you just break into it. You just sit around like a campfire and just whip out the Neil songs and everything's cool. You're having so much fun with this.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
you are so
traveling
good.
Traveling around the country, spreading the good word of Neil.
Yeah.
How is your singing different from his? You must have to do something to your voice to change it a little bit when you're him, right?
Yeah, I try to do the Neil voice.
Yeah,
you know,
it works.
I've changed over the years. Like for a while, I thought, do I want to do it? So try to be like more like Neil, or do I want to have my own
take
style
on it?
On
yeah,
a little bit, and so I tend to just kind of not try to do it exact and just kind of do it what
you sound just like
good.
Him
your chest yeah. is so smooth. I gotta tell you, I can't stop staring at he's got a low shirt on.
We've had some problems in the past with guests and comments like that, so if you want to file some
I don't shave it or anything.
No,
just is so smooth. He's got the spangly, you know, sequined shirt on. Bill, you should get one like that.
Clothes, like that. It's always sequins.
Yeah.
And we always encourage people, wear sequins to the show. Wear your best 70s clothes and sequins, and wear it to the House of Blues tonight.
Nice.
And it's always a much better party when I see sparkly sequin shirts out there.
You know it's a good night when you look out in the crowd and you see some sparkle and some sequins.
It makes me not feel so alone. Just being the only one wearing sequins.
Now, you can't get that off the rack. You have to have that specially made, right?
No, I've got some great people who make my shirts for me.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, they're not the most comfortable.
A little itchy, aren't they?
A little
itchy. It doesn't matter how they feel. It matters how they look. I'm going to Chess King after the show. If you want to come with me, we'll go shopping together.
Okay. All right. I've got time.
It's going to be fun.
I don't have to load in until
3 o'clock. 5 o'clock? All right. Mm-hmm. We can get that done.
You are a wonderful guy to talk to, and you're an amazing musician. And I would like to throw out a request of Solitary Man. Can you do that for us?
Yeah. Awesome. That was Neil's first hit, 1965, the year I was born.
Mm.
Melinda was mine till the time that I found her. Holding Jim, loving him. Then Sue came along, love me strong, that's what I thought. Yeah, me and Sue, that died too. Don't know that I will, but until I can find me one girl who'll stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am, solitary man, solitary man, oh. Solitary man.
Pretty sexy, huh,
That's
Bill?
That's so sexy.
Do you have another pair of panties you can throw?
No, I just wear one a day, Wendy. You know that. What about Lou Diamond Phillips? What are your thoughts on him?
La Bamba?
Yeah, La Bamba. Oh, listen to this.
Oh. You didn't start out.
Neil covered that on his first album, I think. So
did he?
I know it.
And he wrote some songs for the Monkees, did he not?
Yes.
Is I'm a Believer a Neil
I'm
Diamond
a Believer
song?
Was number one for the Monkees.
Yeah.
Little Bit Me, Little Bit You.
That's a great song.
Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow. And Love to Love, and maybe there was one other one.
That's pretty impressive. So did people not know who he was at the time, except in the business?
It was about the time when he was starting out. When did the Monkees start?
66, maybe?
So Neil started in 65. So yeah. Solitary Man and Cherry Cherry were already a hit for Neil. And I don't know, he just gave him some of his songs, because he had a recording of I'm a Believer at that time. And I don't think he released it, though, so...
So it became a huge hit
for the Monkees.
Wow. Impressive.
All right. But you didn't start playing guitar and singing to Neil Diamond. What was
no,
what you
Kiss
started
inspired
with?
Me.
Kiss did. Yeah.
Really? Beth, and, what's a beautiful song.
Yeah. Were you ever in a Kiss inspired band, like Smooch or something? Were you ever in a band called Smooch?
No, but you know, when I was in eighth grade and then through high school, you know, we were playing covers.
Yeah.
So we tried to play all my favorite stuff, Van Halen and AC/DC and all the greats.
Yeah. Wow.
You're a great musician. You really are.
Thank you.
And it's a great band. How many people in Super Diamond?
Six.
Six full time, but now you've told us off the air that there are nights where you'll perform somewhere where there's 75 members in the band, right? You get an orchestra behind you.
We've been playing with symphony orchestras.
I bet that's fantastic.
With a bunch of horns and violins, cellos, bells, you name it, a full symphony behind us. It's wonderful.
I bet that sounds beautiful.
Love to come to Chicago and play with the show.
Yeah, why has that not happened yet? Why not?
It's passed the word.
All right.
We've been doing it now for 4 years. So we've done San Diego Symphony Orchestra, Phoenix Symphony Orchestra, probably about 20 so far we've done all over the country. Mm-hmm. And hope to get here someday.
Good, I hope
so. Got to make that happen. Yes. We have no power whatsoever, but we could make some phone calls.
I'll call Wendy and Wendy will call me. We'll get it done.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you. It's all about the love, baby.
Yep.
Super Diamond at House of Blues tonight. What a show. You can go to livenation.com to get tickets. 17 and older. And Bob Ferguson, great job with the audio. Mm-hmm. Can you do just a little of Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon? It's a wrap. Oh, my God. This is awesome.
You'll be a woman soon. Love you so much, can't count on the ways I die for you, girl, and all they can say is, he's not your kind. They never get tired of putting me down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them make up your mind. Don't you know, girl, you'll be a woman soon. Please come take my hand.
So pretty. Very nice.
Beautiful. That's all right. You're fantastic. You really are.
Thank
Surreal
you, Surreal Neil.
I'm used to playing solo.
Oh, it's working.
I like it.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Then we'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.